In his book, How to Be Heard in Heaven by Eddie Smith, he shares how he went from problem-centered praying to purpose-driven praying. He tells the story of how one day he was praying his typical prayer for his son. It went something like this. Oh God, fix my son. He's into this and that. He needs this and that. He needs that. God, how long must I pray before you move in his life? With that, Eddie shares that the Holy Spirit interrupted him and convicted him of how his prayer for his son was really an affront to God. He was praying as if he loved his son more than God did. His prayer also reflected that he had forgotten that God was the one who had created his son and knew his needs better than he did. He also showed him how his prayer had the tone of impatience. If I were you, God, I would have already done something about this. Can you all relate? I sure can. Eddie admitted that the Spirit was right, but he was at a loss of how to pray. After a time of he waited on God, he heard a prayer arising from his heart, this time aligning his heart with the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for loving me and hearing my prayer. I thank you for the plan and purpose you have for my son. For you wrote the days of his life in your book before he was even born. I'm grateful to know that your plans are perfect and your purposes never change. Thank you for assuring me in Philippians 1:6 that what you have begun in his life, you are busy finishing. Thank you for changing his schedule and bringing people into his life that he never expected to meet. Thank you for reminding him of things his mother and I have taught him since he was a small child. From that day on, Eddie and his wife Alice began praying in a new way. 6 months later, their son called them and asked if they had changed the way they prayed for him. He explained, until 6 months ago, he had felt confused in his mind and condemned in his heart. But for the past 6 months, he felt clear-minded and drawn to God. Is that not amazing? Eddie's prayers had changed and become full of praise, truth, and thanksgiving. The Holy Spirit had not only transformed the way he prayed, but he had also transformed his son. As I have begun the practice of praising God in my life and thanking him, I've personally experienced that transformation that comes through both of those things. I've also come to realize that it's not only crucial for me to know who God is, but it's also critical for me and for us to know who we are in Christ. And I tell you, I'm in kindergarten, maybe even preschool on this, but let me just tell you about my experience. Early one cold January morning a few years ago, I was sitting by my fireplace. It was after Christmas, and you know how you don't have any more shopping to do or wrapping or cooking, and all the family's gone, and it's just kind of like that. You have a few days before work starts again, and so I was just having one of those times sitting by the fireplace, enjoying time with the Lord that early morning. And I didn't know it at the time, but this was going to be another one of those significant encounters with him, which would give me new insights and take me into a new level of prayer. As I began to share my burdens with the Lord that morning, I sensed the Lord speaking to me, saying this, Jan, I love it when you come to me and pour out your heart, but I want you to pray in the confidence of the truth. If you have anxiety in your heart about these burdens that you're bringing to me, you are praying from an earthly viewpoint, not a heavenly one. Don't you know you are seated with Christ? It's from this position I want you to come and bring your requests to me. A position of authority as the bride of Christ, in whom he has given his scepter. I realized that day that my heart should be filled with faith and peace because of not only who he is, but who I am in Christ. He has called us to reign with him in this life and walk as more than conquerors through Christ in the very battles that he calls us to. Christ is on the throne forever, and we are seated with him and have been given that authority to reign with him in life. We must begin to walk in the truth of this reality. One of my sons called me a year or so ago, and he was in deep despair because of a situation at work. And as he began to share his heart with me and what was going on with him, I recognized it was the lies of the enemy that were filling his mind. So after a time of listening, I began to speak truth to him. And then I had an opportunity to pray for him. At the end of our time together on the phone, he said, "Thank you, Mom. I just wish I could carry you around in my pocket with me." Isn't that sweet? We can carry God's truth around in our pocket with us, in our minds, in our hearts, and it has the power to transform. And we must begin to recognize the lies of the enemy and demolish every argument and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. I think I shared with you all about the time that I was feeling just this darkness, this oppression on me, and no matter how much I prayed or whatever, I could not shake that. It just went on for about 3 days, and then in my quiet time with the Lord, he just quickened me and said, "Just write down all the lies all the things that's going on in your mind. What are the tapes that are playing in your mind?" And so I just began to write those down, and as I did, I could see clearly that they were lies of the enemy. And so I've gotten better about recognizing those quicker. And so I can put them to extinguish those fiery darts by the truth of the word. So we've got to know the truth of his word and the truth of who we are in Christ and begin to enter into that. We've got to speak and believe the truth that no matter what our situation looks like, God's truth is truth. Giving God thanks for the truth declared in his word will wield its power in our lives. Begin to know who God is and who you are and possess your glorious inheritance. And in your packet tonight that your take home, there is a sheet in there that is just a few of the our identity, who we are in Christ. And if you've never really thought too much about that, I would encourage you just to really take this week and really start meditating in these truths. In fact, in my Thanksgiving time in the mornings, I will not only write down things that God did that I'm thankful for the day before, I will also thank him for who I am in Christ. And even just taking a few of those things off that sheet, just meditating on that, again, it's just powerful what it will do to us. It is very transforming. So begin to know who you are and possess your inheritance. I also ran off for you a copy this week of this Francis Frangipane, "Are You Having an Identity Crisis?" And I just thought, oh my goodness, this whole thing is so good. I can't read this whole thing to them. So I'm just going to point out a few little highlights of this article, and then you can take it home and read the rest. But he's talking about our identity in Christ and how we need to begin to walk in that and take hold of all the blessing there is in that. But I love this. He says, "I was engaged in a particular struggle, and a friend asked me, 'How are you doing under the circumstances?' I answered, 'I am not under the circumstances. I am seated with Christ in heavenly realms. My Father is God. There is no weapon formed against me that can prosper. I'm born from above, a new creation. I'm a partaker of the divine nature. Everything I answered came directly from God's word and represents the reality granted me by faith in God's promises. Faith unlocks the power of God's promises. So, beloved friend, you are not under the circumstances or the weather or pressures or curses. You are alive together with Christ. You are positioned in the shelter of God's domain. Isn't that great? And then I love what he says here. Beloved, if you are not using God's word to define and shape your spiritual identity, you will, in fact, be under the circumstances and clouded by the oppression that abides on the first Adam. And then one more thing. This is, and he really hits on this all throughout the article. You'll enjoy this. He says, the quest to walk in your new nature is the crux of the primary battles in life. This is not just a war between your virtue and your vices. No, it is a war between your identity after the flesh and your true identity as a new creature in Christ. Isn't that something? And I was thinking about a battle that I faced recently and, just the struggle that I had there. And I began to realize that, that was part of the battle. But the real battle was, who am I in Christ? And what does God say is going to be the outcome of this battle? And, it just totally changes things. We need a mind transformation. You know, when my daddy would come home from work in the afternoons, he would always reach into his pockets and take out all the contents of his pockets and put them on his dresser. I just remember so clearly seeing that. I always liked to look and see what he had in his pockets. And I often have wondered, though, at the end of the day, if we could take out our brain and we could pour out the contents on our dresser, what would we see? What did you think about most today? At the end of our day, we want to be able to pour out those things that the Lord tells us to have our minds on. And I'm embarrassed to tell you, but it was probably not that long ago that it really dawned on me that we are called not only to discipline our bodies in what we eat and exercise and all those sorts of things, but we are also to discipline our minds. And we can tell our minds what it can think and what it can't. We can nip thoughts in the bud. And we can, as we talked about earlier, replace those thoughts with the things that God wants us thinking about. So, what filled your mind today? Was it responsibilities, tasks, etc.? But what about when your mind is in neutral? Where does it go? Is it filled with thoughts of God? Of course, we know in Philippians 4, it says that we need to be thinking about things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. But are our minds more filled with worries, fears? Are we more self-focused, me-centered, negative, or critical thinking? Again, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 5, through 5 talks about how though we live in this world and we wage a war, we do not wage that war with weapons of the world. We have spiritual weapons that have divine power for bringing down strongholds. And those strongholds that we're bringing down are arguments and pretensions, false things, lies of the enemy. That's what we're bringing down. And then we're to take every thought captive to Christ. Can you imagine thinking the thoughts of Christ? I mean, maybe I've had a moment or two of that, but I just think about when Jesus walked on the earth, what his thought life was like. And that is what we do. We have the mind of Christ. That is available to us. Oh, Lord, bring us there. Another few passages you may want to look up, Colossians 3, 1 and 2 talks about setting our minds on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Romans 12, 2 says, present yourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then Isaiah 26:3, he will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. Of course, the John 15 passage about abiding in Jesus, that's all about dwelling, you know, staying, remaining in that place with the Lord. And then Psalm 91, it talks about dwelling in the shelter of the Most High. It wants us to stay there, live there continually. Psalm 27:4, we talked about that when we talked about praise, gazing on his beauty. Psalm 1 talks about the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who he meditates on it day and night will be like that tree planted by the streams of living water. And then that's echoed again in Joshua 1, where God is preparing Joshua to go in and take the promised land. And he says, do not be afraid or discouraged, but meditate on my word day and night. Don't let it out of your sight. Don't let it out of your mind. You're going to need that for the warfare. And then Psalm 16:11, in his presence is fullness of joy. And then there's, you can just go on and on about those things. But if this is the superior place to live, why don't we? And I wrote the word down, busy. And have you ever heard what the acronym is, B-U-S-Y? Being under Satan's yoke. We're distracted. Distracted means to draw away in another direction, to disorder the mind. Do you remember when Jesus gave the parable of the seeds, the farmer scattering the seeds? One of the seeds that fell got choked out by the cares of the world. Lies of the enemy is another reason that we don't think on those things. He doesn't want us to know who God is. He doesn't want us thinking in terms of praise and thanksgiving. God is giving us an invitation to exchange our burdens, worries, and cares for his peace and joy and freedom and hope by gazing on him, by setting our minds on him. A friend of mine sent me this little email a few years ago, and she actually is sitting in this room, Marie. This is, you may remember this, but it's called Handy Little Chart. So I'm just going to share with you a few things off of this chart. You say it's impossible. God says, all things are possible with me. You say, I'm too tired. God says, I will give you rest. You say, nobody really loves me. God says, I love you. You say, I can't go on. God says, my grace is sufficient. You say, I can't figure things out. God says, I will direct your steps. You say, I can't do it. God says, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You say, I'm not able. God says, I am able. You say, it's not worth it. God says, it will be worth it. You say, I can't forgive myself. God says, I forgive you. You say, I can't manage. God says, I will supply all your needs. You say, I am afraid. God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. You say, I'm always worried and frustrated. God says, cast your cares on me. You say, I'm not smart enough. God says, I will give you wisdom. You say, I feel all alone. God says, I will never fail you nor forsake you. What a contrast in the way that we typically think and the way that is the truth. So I would just encourage you to begin to memorize, meditate, whatever you need to do, but think on not only who God is, remembering what he's done, what he is doing, what he will do, and who you are in Christ, and begin to walk out that destiny. I remember I'm the regional director for Moms in Prayer, and it was not long after I was called to do that and I stepped into that new position, I felt so utterly inadequate. And it was just one of those, God said, yes, this is yes for you. And I was like, no, surely it's not yes. And it was yes. And I remember after I had accepted the position, I went out for my morning walk. And as I was walking around the neighborhood, I just heard the Holy Spirit say to me, stand up and see yourself as the warrior you are. And I was just like, it was just, you know, wow. And I just stood a little taller, just walked a little more boldly around the neighborhood that day. But, you know, I mean, that's who I am. I'm a warrior and I am more than a conqueror through Christ. So we need to be reminding each other of the truth too. So if you have a friend that calls you and she's down in the dumps and she's filled with worry and anxiety, just start speaking truth to her. And have a friend like that in your life. I have one in my life that I know who to call if I get into that mode. And she always speaks truth to me. So I love that. E.M. Bounds tells this story. Do you expect to go to heaven? Asked someone of a devout Scotsman. Why, man, I live there, was the quaint and unexpected reply. It was a statement of a great truth. For all the way to heaven is heaven begun to the Christian who walks near enough to God to hear the secrets he has to impart. And you know, we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it's being done in heaven. So let's begin to walk in that kingdom here on earth. Let's take hold of it. We have authority. I was listening to a sermon today on my iPod, and this missionary was telling about a time that his wife contracted malaria, and no matter what they did, they could not get rid of it, and she was just spiraling downward and having to go to these specialists, and the doctors just didn't know what to do and all that, and he said he was just, his wife was in the hospital, and he was laying on the floor in their little hut or whatever it was, and he said that he was just praying, and as he'd been, you know, crying out to God. And he said, the Holy Spirit said to him, he said, you know, this is an attack of the enemy on your wife, and it's meant to discourage you in your ministry. And he said that when he heard that, he got all flustered. He just got all angry at the enemy, and he stood to his feet and he just commanded the you know, demonic spirits of illness and whatever to go. He just commanded them to go in the name of Jesus. And it was at that moment his wife turned the corner and began to get better. And she was fine. But he said it was like God was saying, you're praying to me, get up and take authority over this. And so I'm just still learning how to do that. But I think so often things happen because we're not taking up the authority of who we are in Christ. So I just want to encourage you with that. And then just in closing, in your handout, you have this developing a lifestyle of thanksgiving. These are just little ideas. Number one, of course, pray and ask God to do this work in you. And I really want to grow in this as well. And then two, discipline your thought life. Turn the world off. Think about God. Look for things to thank Him for. Practice Thanksgiving. Number three, set a time for it. Start a Thanksgiving journal. Have it out on your kitchen counter all day and jot things down. And, you know, even, I mean, it's a reminder just to see it there, to be aware, looking around of what you have to be thankful for. And I tell you what, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. And I remember quite some time ago, you know, at Thanksgiving, I would always during the Thanksgiving season and, you know, as we were approaching the holiday of Thanksgiving, I would take time to just write down all my blessings, you know, just write down as many things that I could think of. And then the Lord gave me this idea. I thought, you know, these are blessings that are going to be gone someday. These are material blessings. They're, you know, even relational blessings and things. So these are kind of things that are temporal. But how about things that are eternal? What about the eternal blessings? So now I make two lists at Thanksgiving, and I write down those spiritual blessings that will never be taken away from me. So that's another idea as you think about practicing Thanksgiving. Thank Him for the eternal and the temporal things. And then lastly, set up memorial stones, whether it's a bowl of rocks or a notebook, whatever it is, find some way to remember and to pass on the word of your testimony to those who will come after you. So what we're going to do tonight for just about 5 minutes or so is I put a little blank sheet of paper in your packet. I think it's the back page. And I want us to take time to write a thank you note to God. So we're just going to take a few minutes to do this. And you can just, when we finish, just fold this up and put it in a special place to remind you of the things that you want to thank God for. But let's just spend a few moments writing a thanksgiving to God. Well, I know you're probably just getting warmed up like I am, but you can finish those letters at home and just enjoy thinking and remembering what God has done. Before I close this in prayer, I just want to, again, thank you so much for being here these past 4 weeks. And we've just got two left. And I know that when most of us think about prayer, we think about asking God and petition and intercession. And so we're finally going to get to that next week. So I just want to encourage you, the next 2 weeks as we finish out are going to be really powerful times. Not that these others haven't been, but we're going to be talking about intercession next week. And then the last week, we're going to be talking about the power of united prayer. And we're going to be talking about persevering in prayer, because that's so much of what we have to do. As God has called us to pray. So I just want to encourage you to make every effort to be here the last 2 weeks because they're going to be really important sessions. I'm wondering how I'm going to get it done in just a couple of hours. So come ready to Zoom with me through those two topics. I also just want to mention that as I was praying this morning and for tonight, and I had that picture of Jesus just going around giving a gold nugget to each one of us tonight. I saw that, but I also felt like there was going to be someone here tonight, or maybe more than one person, who just is really going through some struggles right now and really heavy-hearted. So I just wanted to let you know that I feel like the Lord spoke to you tonight through this and is going to continue to overcome whatever it is that you're going through. But I just wanted to let you know that I'm always available to pray for you at the end of our sessions if anybody needs prayer about something special. And I know all of you in here are prayer people. So grab a friend, come grab me or whatever, and we would be glad to pray for you. And things change when we pray.